What happened if you played hooky from North Side?
Yeah, but, you know, the teacher would leave the classroom and walk across the field or go to your house, or get in their car and go to your house and see what was wrong, you know.
So you didn't mess around playing missing school much from North Side?
Nah, because it was fun. You know, it was, you know, school was fun back then, you know. You had a good time.
Did you, let me go back over this. You stayed at Chapel Hill Junior High School 1 year, and then you went to Phillips?
Went to Phillips.
Uh-huh. And it was the same at Phillips?
In a way, yeah.
And when did it end this verbal abuse?
When does it end?
When did it end?
When does it end?
When does it end? You think it's still going on?
Probably not as much, but I'm pretty sure there's still some things that's still being said. People may not be using the same language, and you know, but I'm pretty sure there's some things that's still being said about different races, whether it's white or black, you know. And I'm not saying that all the whites and all the teachers like that. We have some, I think one thing that helped me survive up on Franklin Street at Chapel Hill Junior High School was some of the white friends we had, male and females. You know, I mean, I used to sit in class and be crying and, you know, and I don't remember the name. There were these two white girls used to just kind of, you know, talk to me. And this was mainly in my math class, you know. And I think the main reason I would cry in that class, because I had just left my history class, and we had a very, very mean history teacher. You know, and she wouldn't say Negroes, she said Negroes. That's what she.
An I instead of an E.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember her. You know.
Was there any physical abuse?
There were fights, yes, there was.
But you got into fights?
Some, yeah. But like I said, I had this real close friend, a guy named, Reed Hilton. His father was the track coach at Carolina for a long time. And I think Reed still lives here in Chapel Hill. He lives out in Chapman County now. So he was a close friend, and he would always stop us from fighting.
He was a white.
Yeah.
White
student. Mm-hmm. And this other guy named Kenny Rogers. I don't know what Kenny is at now. Kenny used to be a Chapel Hill police officer here in Chapel Hill, and I haven't seen him in a while. But, You have people like that would kind of intervene and help out.
So you saw the best and worst of what went on. You had students who taunted you and got into a fight with you, but then you had students who helped stand up for you, did you?
Yeah, I was an athlete, so kind of, you know, if you were an athlete, you had a little bit of advantage. Didn't play much sports in junior high school up on Franklin Street, but once I got out to Gabby Phillips, you know, played basketball, you know, ran track.
So you think being an athlete helped in your being integrated into this mix?
I think it helped, school. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it didn't help overall, because when you went to another school to play, you know, and sometimes being the only black athlete out there on the basketball court, you get called all kind of names. And I think it had a real lasting effect on me, because after that, I was always nervous when I went out on the court, you know, to play football, basketball, something like that. It didn't bother me when I was running track, but other sports it did. And it followed me through high school, and I was always nervous when I went out there.
This taunting stayed.
It stayed with me.
Even into Chapel Hill High School?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Until I stopped playing sports.
You must have felt angry about this.
Sometimes I would get angry. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
How did you get over that anger, those experiences?
I think you get over it by protecting the ones you love and making sure that it's not going to happen to them. That's where I get over it.
But yet, from what I hear from you, you still think some of it's going on.
I would say so, yeah. Maybe not in the same way. But yeah.
Maybe less?
Yeah. And then it didn't just happen in the schools. It was in the community back then. So, you know, a lot of people look at integration and say, you know, the blacks had all these problems, but, you know, we had those problems before we went into the school system. You know, when you left Lincoln, you had problems. When you left your community, you had problems. When we left Merritt Mill Road, when we left Northside area, you know, and went downtown into the community, you know, you had those problems. So it was just not in the school system.
When you say you had problems, you're talking about segregation?
Yeah.
Verbal abuse?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
How did your parents teach you to deal with that?
I think back then, the parents, you know, wanted us to stay in our place, you know, stay in your community.
Are there any other memories that you have of the junior high school or Phillips?
Junior high school. I remember we were, because you had the junior high school here, and then you had the high school, and it was separated by auditorium, and then in the back was the arts and craft building, and then you had the gymnasium and the PE department. It was kind of the back. We came out the door from the junior high school, myself and David Briggs and Pernell Jackson. We would walk across the street to the Exxon service station, which is now McFarland Exxon. We would walk down the street past where BW3 is now. It used to be an old Belts and NP store, and cross over to go to the gymnasium and to go to the arts and craft building, because we didn't want to walk behind the school. There was a big field between the school and there was a fraternity house, and sometimes the students from the fraternity house would come over there and bother us, not just us, but all the students. So we would walk across the street and go down and come across to get to class, so we wouldn't have to go through the back where everybody would be. You know, there was a snack bar back there, so we knew all the students would be back there, you know.
So you didn't get taunted or abused physically?
Yeah.
You mentioned one teacher who you thought was prejudiced. Did you have any positive experiences with the white teachers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we sure did.
Any who stood out?
Miss Stanford, which is now Judge Love. She was a civic teacher. She stood out, you know, and her son died. And then, as with everybody, whether you're white, black, green, red, or purple, what? Miss Dora Raskin.
Dora Raskin.
Yeah.
What was it about Dora that...
She cared about everybody. She cared about everybody. She wanted to make sure that everybody succeeded. We had this this black girl that was in my class, and she was always late, 2 or 3 minutes, whatever, 5 minutes. And Miss Rest kept telling her, you know, you need to get to class on time. She said, well, I can't do it. And she explained to her why she could not get there on time. And one day Miss Rest said, well, that's it. You have to be in class on time. The very next day, she was in class on time. Miss Rest told her, okay, I understand why you were being late. Now we can deal with that. We can work with that. You can be late. But I want you to try and get here on time. But I just wanted to show you, you could get here on time. You know.
One of the things that I heard from the other people I interviewed was that the teachers at Lincoln and Northside both taught values. And I'm wondering whether you felt that Zora Rashkus.
She did.
Taught values.
She did.
Can you explain that further?
Well, she taught you, she made you feel a part of everybody. She wants you to understand and wants you to know that you could be just as important as the next person, God, whether you're white or black. She opened her home up to all the students in her class. And she wanted you to know that you could succeed, you could do things, just like the young lady that kept coming to class late. You know, she wanted her to prove to herself that she could be on time, you know.
Did she also invite parents into her home?
I think, you know, Ms. Rash probably invited everybody into her home, you know, yeah.
Is that something that went on when you were at Northside, that the teachers visited your home?
Oh, yeah.
So basically, she was like your other teachers from Northside.
In a way, yeah, you know. Yeah.
Let's move on to, unless there are other memories that you have that you want to share of either Phillips or the experience in Chapel Hill Junior High. It looks like you probably
want to. Well, you know, I got an education. That's one good thing came out of it. Did get education, and you know, whether it was the best education a black student could have received at that time is debatable. I think it did hurt in a way because she was in an environment that you didn't want to be in, an environment where you couldn't really concentrate on what you were doing, concentrate on your work because you had so many other things that would draw your attention away. Whether it was, you know, you didn't have money to do this or you was afraid what was going to happen when you went to another class or left school that day or came to school the next day or whatever. So you did get education, but, you know, there were some stumbling blocks, some pains in your way that would not have been in your way if you was at Lincoln, you know.
Did you feel that the teachers at Chapel Hill Junior High or Phillips were giving you a harder curriculum, or it was more difficult at the white school?
See, I can't compare because I never attended Lincoln.
Well, let's
yeah.
say Northside.
Northside. Well, it was a different environment. You know, you had at Northside in elementary school, you had a closer relationship. You knew the teacher. You felt comfortable. And, you know, you knew all the students in class, so, you know, you had people to work with, people to help you out if you had a problem. And junior high school was more like, you know, you were on your own, you know. But, you know, like I said, and I really hate to start calling names because there was a lot of good teachers. You know, Miss Raskin, Zora Raskin, you know, and Miss Stanford really sticks out. And there was a history teacher by the name of Mr. Vaughn, I think. And you know, people like that.
So it was a mixed bag of what you experienced from the teachers in the way of how you could relate to them?
Yeah, you know, like this history teacher, you know, I had her in seventh grade, and I said, God, I didn't got rid of her when I left Chapel Hill Junior High School, when it got me filled. But I got again out there in eighth grade, and we was in class one day, and this is when President Kennedy was assassinated. And she made a statement. She said, I bet some Negro did it, you know, right in class, you know. And she sure did. She said, I bet some Negro did it. You know, everybody, you know, sitting up in class and, you know.
So you left Phillips Junior High School and went to the New Chapel Hill High School?
New Chapel High School. There was like a lap because the year that I played hooker for so long, I didn't pass my grade that year.
Uh-huh.
I just didn't do nothing. And I kind of like hung out in the woods. And I think one day, and when you hung out in the woods, you hung out near Lincoln because you wanted to see everything that was going on. you want to see all the activities they was doing, like the May Day program and the different activities they had, and, you know, the band practicing, the football team practicing, and, you know, the students and people going to lunch and stuff like that. Everybody want to be a part of that. I think every black child in Chapel Hill grew up wanting to be a part of Lincoln High School. And they knew if you went to Lincoln High School, you had to do what was right, because Mr. Matt Dugan would not have it any other way. You know, he was the principal, and he would come by your house. You know, he would be driving down the street, and he may see five of, you know, some guys out in the yard. And, you know, he would stop by your house and talk to you, whether it was on afternoon or Saturday or Sunday or whatever. And everybody called him Matt Dugan, you know, and because that was the name that, his name was Mr. Matt Dugan. Some of the guys tried to be smart, and they would say Matt Dugan, and he would stop and come to your house and get on you and talk to you and talk to your parents and everything, even if you were not a student at Lincoln, you know. So, but everybody wanted to go to Lincoln, but yes, I did. When they built Chapel Hill High School, when it first opened, I went to Chapel Hill High School.
Did you think that the first year Chapel Hill High School was open, the new Chapel Hill High, that it was going to be integrated, or was it supposed to be all white?
No, we knew. We knew. And, you know, a lot of people was hoping, myself for one, that that was the year that we were going to be able to go back to Lincoln, because everybody grew up wanting to play sports in Lincoln. You know, I used to get up in, you know, the football and basketball game, which I could walk to the gym. But, you know, on Saturday mornings when my two brothers, you know, would go play baseball and run track, you know, the bus would come out of the house and pick them up, you know, and I'm sitting there, you know, wanting to go, couldn't go. You know, but everybody grew up wanting to go to Lincoln to be a part of that program, you know, whether the band, the drill team, the basketball team, the football team, or whatever. Everybody, every black child grew up wanting to be a part of Lincoln High School. You know, there was so much there, you know. I mean, you know, everything, you know, there was so much, you know, we saw growing up. You know, you probably had more people at practice than at games sometimes, because everybody wanted to go see Lincoln, you know. That's the way it was.
When you went to football practice at Lincoln, did you see some of the graduates come back and help out?
I don't remember all of them, but, you know, there were some that, you know, came back. You know, I don't remember Coach Bradshaw that way, but I do remember, you know, Coach Pearman, because that was the time that my brother was playing, you know.
I understand that at one point the team, football team, would jog around the stadium and then come into the center of the come into the 50-yard line. And can you tell me about what they did?
I don't remember all that. I do kind of have a vague, you know, vague memory of that happening, but I don't remember all of it, you know, because, you know, back then, you know, the football team, once they started playing football, we watched football games. But before the football game, we watched the band. You know, we watched the band, the majorette, you know, the band leader, you know, and all that stuff, you know. Football.
They perform before the game.
Yeah, you know, everybody.
They perform at halftime as
yes,
well.
Yes, mm-hmm, yeah. So we watch, you know, football game. Game start, we watched that. Before that, we watched the band. But I'm pretty sure there was some time that they did, you know, march in the football team did come in. But I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't remember all that. Yeah.
Remember the bus?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you describe that?
It was an old bus that, you know, people thought wouldn't make it from here to the top of the hill. It was kind of like the bus that we used to have for the recreation department when I first started working here.
What color was it?
I think it was yellow. Uh-huh. Not for sure. Yeah.
To have the tiger on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody everything. Painted the tiger mm-hmm. on the side.
But yeah, that bus would pop that bus in the back of the stadium when they went out to the football stadium on Fidelity Street to play football games on Saturday night, Friday night.
What was the name of the stadium on Fidelity?
Yeah, I never knew the name of that stadium. But it was used by Chapel High School and also Lincoln. I think by the recreation, but we had some recreation games out there too. Yeah.
So you sat out a year and then went in 66 to Chapelville High School.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what was it like there the first year?
You had more blacks out there, and as we look at it, you had the guys from Lincoln that came. So we felt like then that, hey, we got our protection out here. You know, you had the people like, you know, Thurman Couch, Rudolph Farrell, Charles Frampton, Larry Edwards, Henry Campbell, Henry McCray. You had all those guys and more that was coming out there. So, you know, these was a big, which that was only like a year apart in our age, but we just felt like we
had protection.
We had our back. Yeah. You know, you had more people that was going to help you out if something started.
Did you feel as though the taunting, the verbal abuse, the physical abuse was less because the
well, some of that had kind of gone away because my ninth grade year at Phillips, I played basketball, you know. So since I played basketball, I kind of, you know, had more friends. But I do recall going back a little bit. One day at basketball practice, not myself, and there was two other guys, Jesse Chavis and Evan Merritt, was on the JV basketball team out there. And some of the guys said, let's go to the store, you know, and we were going to walk from Phillips down to the bottom of the hill where the Texaco service station is now. There used to be a little store there. Came Brady's, the restaurant, all that. So on the way down the street, you know, you guys kept whispering to each other and kept, you know, Bob Andrew, who was, well, Billy Andrew, and a guy named Bobby, who was Coach Carlton's son, who was a high school coach, and Jimmy Vine, all those guys, you know, they kept whispering to each other. I'm trying to figure out, you know, what are they whispering about, you know. Didn't know. We get to the store, and on the gas, well, Nate, let me have your money. And I should have known, but, you know, I have, sometime, you know, back then, some of us got in a position where we kind of forgot, you know, where we had come from and everything. And I think at one point in time that I'm out there playing basketball with them. I'm a basketball star. Whatever they do, I can do. And this particular day, I thought I could walk with them to the store and go in the store, you know, and I couldn't go in.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
I thought desegregation.
No, this was my ninth grade year, so it's like 65.
Before the civil rights, the federal civil rights law.
Well, you might have had the federal civil rights law, but there still was some people that would tell you you couldn't come into the store. And I'm you know, and I don't know the owner of the store, but there was a little store on the corner. I don't think it was Brady Restaurant now.
Oh, I see, like a candy store or
something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, give me your money, we'll bring you something back out. You know, and I said, you know, what's going on this way? Can't go in with us, you know. So I turned around and, you know, walked them back up the hill, you know, to the school, and they went in the store, you know. So and you know, like I said, I don't remember the name of it, and I don't remember the owner of it. What I don't want to do is throw some names out there that's not true, you know. Some people that may have not been a part of some of the negative thing that was going on, you know.
What was it like in the school with the teachers? That first year, and with the relationship, your relationship with the teachers and your relationship with the white students at the new high school?
Well, you know, with the teachers, they brought some of the black teachers out, you know, Mr. Matt Dewey came, Mr. R.D. Smith. So we had some people that we could go to, people we could go and talk to if we had a problem. People that was out there that was going to make sure that we got a good education, and we was treated, you know, fairly. We were not mistreated, you know. So you had people like that, you know. And you had Coach Carlton, who was the football, basketball, track, swim, golf. He coached everything, you know. He was there, and you know, kind of, you know, took care of student athletes, you know.
So you felt he was fair to all races?
Coach Carlton. I would say so. Yeah. Yeah. And Coach Pribben was out there also.
Yeah. What was your feeling that Coach
Pearman, who had been so successful with the fourth program, was now assistant coach. Did that bother him?
He was assistant coach. He was JV coach. In a way, it did. But also, by me being a sophomore, I played JV football. So I got the opportunity to play under him, you know.
What kind of a coach was he?
That's right. He was a good coach. He was a good person. So, you know, a good role model. He looked out for everyone, you know. He was a fair coach, whether he was white or black, you know. You know, with all the blacks that came out to Chapel High School back then, I think they kind of felt like that they was going to be mistreated. You know, like Mr. Matt Dugal, he was the assistant principal. I think he was in charge of books.
So you sort of expected, when you say that others expected to be mistreated when they went to the high school?
I think so. You know, I'm pretty sure that we was, and other people was not thinking that, hey, this is a big change for us, it's for the best, and everything going to be just fine.
Did it bother you that almost all of the core curriculum teachers were white and the black teachers were in peripheral courses?
Well, see, I had that for the past, you know, 3 years.
So it was nothing new to you?
No, it's nothing new. And I think people kind of expect, I'm pretty sure people knew that, this community knew that all the black teachers in Lincoln was not going to be brought out to Chapel High School. And also, you know, Lincoln stayed open for a while as a school. It's like an elementary, middle school. So there was still some classes at Lincoln. So some of the teachers stayed down there. You know.
What I've heard from others is that tensions seem to get worse over a couple of years, and I wonder if you could tell me what your feelings were about what happened at the school leading up to the riots that occurred.
You know, I don't remember a lot about the riot, probably for a couple of reasons, because we had teachers that wouldn't let us out of class, and the same thing really broke out. You know, we was be sitting there and said, well, we hate all white people. And she would say, well, do you hate me? We said, no, we don't hate you. She said, but I'm white. Yeah, but we don't hate you. You know, we just hate white people. You know, so, I don't remember a lot of it, you know.
Do you remember the issue that sparked the riot, or the issues that made the black students have this hatred?
I think the black students wanted to be a part. They wanted to be heard. They wanted to let people know that they were part of the school. And I think that's the main thing. They wanted to be their school also. You know, I can remember the first year in 66, we had an excellent football team. And we went to Roxborough and played Roxborough. And they beat us. They beat us. They really beat us. And the next week at practice, Coach Carson walked out on the field, and he was real quiet, you know, and he had this letter in his hand. Somebody from Roxbury had wrote him a letter. And basically what they were saying, do not never bring no niggas up here to try to beat us in football again. So, you know, things like that happened, and we would go places, you know, and play games, you know. There was some team that still didn't have any blacks on their team, so we encountered a lot of hatred from that. And I think it's just kind of carry over. And what happened, you had basically taken something from both races. You know, you had the white race that felt like Chapel High is our school, you know, and you had the black race saying, well, you know, Lincoln High is our school. So you took Lincoln from them, and you also took Chapel High from the whites, because they grew up saying, you know, this is my school. We grew up St. Lincoln and Northside, our school. So it's not, you know, I feel like you just didn't take something from the black, but you also took something from the white also. And so you probably had a lot of hatred and a lot of hostility and anger build up in both races.
When you ran into this racism on the football field, did you feel you had support among the whites on your team and the coach on your team?
Some you did, yeah.
Some you did.
Yeah.
Some you did.
I would go as far as to say if we ran into any type of hostility, racism from another school, I would say you had the support of, if not all, most of the football members. So, you know, Chappie was a small place, you know. A lot of people grew up in Carver and Chappie, so we kind of knew some of the people that, you know, we went to school with and played football with. And it was not like, you know, every day someone was running around calling us niggas and stuff like that, or if we walked into the locker room and, you know, the one-on-one